Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is God's Word. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The key point today, I looked at a number of phrases in this prayerfully, considering which one to zero in on that I want you to especially remember and that I believe God would have us especially focus on. The main point is obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now that is drawn, obviously, from verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Pastor Wood, you took that phrase out of context. I just gave you the context. The context says that those who do not obey the gospel are going to be punished with eternal punishment. Don't you think it's appropriate to learn from that you don't want to be in that group? Well, if you don't want to be in the group that's going to be punished for not obeying the gospel, it's appropriate to exhort one another to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. I mentioned from time to time that when I was a young man, there was considerable controversy among so-called evangelicals concerning whether it was appropriate to call people to repentant faith and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's a huge segment of people who call themselves Bible-believing Christians, evangelicals, who aggressively teach that to call unbelievers to come and repent and yield their lives to Jesus as their Lord and Savior is a false gospel. It's a false gospel. You're preaching works salvation. No, not at all. Get yourself a Ryrie Study Bible from the library and look at what it says in the back about salvation. It specifically addresses this subject. And the late Charles Ryrie writes that it is heresy. It is wrong to say you must receive Jesus as Lord in order to be saved. You simply, the repentant part is simply a change of mind in which you no longer trust in yourself for salvation. You only trust in Jesus as your Savior. Now, he writes, Jesus must be Lord, as in God, in order to save you. But you don't have to receive him as Lord unless basically you want the abundant Christian life. And so it's a two-step salvation, okay? Kind of like bait and switch sales tactics, okay? Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? You can. It's a free gift. All you have to do is just pray this prayer. Stop trusting in yourself. Believe that Jesus is God and that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. And when you believe that and you confess, what? Well, that Jesus Christ is Lord. What do I mean by that? Well, he is God. Okay? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. Now, that's twisting the scriptures. A.W. Tozer, whom I really love and admire, also deceased. A.W. Tozer wrote a book on this subject a long, long time ago. And the title was, I Call It Heresy. And he was addressing the fact that there was this movement growing in certain segments of the conservative Bible-believing church that deliberately, not just accidentally or overlooked it, but deliberately downplayed a call to receive Jesus as Lord. Because that just, you know, that turns a lot of people away. There are a lot of people who just aren't ready for that. What you do is you tell them you can have your sins forgiven and go to heaven if you just believe that Jesus died to save you. Okay? You believe that he's God. You believe he died to save you. And then you're in. But you may discover, and you will, that the Christian life isn't very joyful. It's not very fulfilling. Not sure what the problem is. I thought it was going to be a new life. Oh, well, let me share with you about the abundant Christian life. The way that you receive the abundant Christian life is you need to yield your life to Jesus as Lord. Now that you're going to heaven, you really ought to say, hey, thank you for what you've done for me. I want you to be my Lord. And when you do that, when you start obeying him, you'll find life's a lot better. Okay? Unless, of course, like the Thessalonians, you find out that you get persecuted, but that's a whole nother subject. In any case, by the time I came along, there was a young preacher out in California who had grown up in that heresy, as I understand it, who realized as he studied the scriptures that that is completely bogus. And so a much younger John MacArthur, with whom I disagree on various things, wrote a wonderful book called The Gospel According to Jesus. And I mean, it was an earthquake. Now, some of us had been preaching for a long time, like 10 or 15 years before John's book came out, that the New Testament does not offer salvation on the installment plan. Many people in our culture have done evangelism saying, anybody here want to live forever? Say, I do. Anybody here want to walk on golden streets? Say, I do. Okay? It's just easy. And so tons of people have been told that if they believe this and say this and do this, they're in. That's not scriptural. If you want to compare this passage from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 to another passage that's more succinct. Look at John 3:36. I'm sending people to John 3:36 a lot because John 3 has that wonderful John 3:16 in it, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. But those verses are set in the context of Jesus talking with a man about how to enter the kingdom of God. Guess who's the king in the kingdom of God? God. The purpose of being born again is not just to be forgiven, it is to enter into a relationship with the king where you're no longer in rebellion. Your life is yielded to him. He is the king. And so what does Jesus say? Well, I'm going to just go to verse 36. There's a whole bunch more. But look at verse 36. This is God's word. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. It's not just believe with your mind. It's yield your life to him. Repent and say, God, I've been trying to be my own boss, have it my way, do my thing, live on my terms. I want you to help me to do my will. I want my kingdom to come and my will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't offer that. What he offers is a brand new life. And this brand new life is a life where Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, let's look at the rest of these verses. Paul's writing to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, when you are born again, you have a new life, and that life is in God. It is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I have a message for you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message is grace and peace. What a good thing. Is that what you imagine God saying to you? Or are you thinking that God is still standing there with his arms crossed, tapping his foot and saying, you make me sick? Jesus died to save sinners. But he didn't die just so that we could be forgiven. He died to save sinners. He comes to give us new life in him, and that involves a process of change from the inside out. We ought always, verse 3, to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. We said this when we looked at 1 Thessalonians. The emphasis upon growth. You're doing well. Now let's do better. There's more. Your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is what? Staying strong. No, increasing. Increasing. There should be growth, and that comes from him. He says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you had to endure a while back. Is that what he says? Look at it. Look at it. Is that what he says? No, he says, your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. When he wrote 1 Thessalonians, they were going through a hard time. Now he's writing 2 Thessalonians. They're still going through persecution. I think some of us feel like, you know, I wish I didn't ever have to suffer, but hopefully it's only going to be every few years. Suffering, even persecution, is the norm. That's the norm. And so, what matters is not to avoid persecution and trials, but to endure them with perseverance and faith. Paul says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. You're suffering for what? For the kingdom of God. It's costly to surrender your life to Jesus as Lord. It is costly to yield everything to him. And if you do it, it's not a one-time deal. It will be an ongoing process of surrender, even when it's hard. But he says, as a result, this is evidence. And as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. In other words, you belong. Now, do you get to become part of the kingdom because you suffer? No, you suffer because you became part of the kingdom. Jesus said, if they treated me this way, they're going to treat you that way. Don't be surprised. The reason you're suffering is because you're a part of the kingdom. God is just, however. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. Whew, boy, that's great. When's that going to happen? Okay? I can hardly wait. I want to see those who trouble me troubled. Okay? And I want an end to my troubles. When's that going to happen? Let's see. Does he give us a clue here in the next sentence? This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Oh, no. You mean I may have to suffer until Jesus comes again? Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping maybe it would say like after, 90 days of good behavior. No, that's not what it says. In this life, we should expect suffering. Jesus told his followers, in this world, you will have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. And we're thinking, well, then why is there still suffering? Because I told you that was going to be part of the process. Okay, so it's all going to be better when Jesus comes again. Yes. Well, you know what that makes me want to say. Maranatha. Come quickly, Jesus. That's what Maranatha means. Look what's going to happen. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. So Jesus is coming back, and he's not going to be riding on a donkey. He's going to be on a white horse as the conqueror who has already, even now, been given all authority in heaven and on earth. We are supposed to be about the business of making disciples, not so that Jesus gets to be Lord, but because Jesus is Lord, and he is graciously offering terms of peace to a planet in rebellion. And all those who repent and surrender their lives to him are going to, on that day, be vindicated and delivered and ushered into paradise. Those, on the other hand, who don't, John 3:36 says what? The wrath of God remains on them. The wrath of God abides on them. This planet is already under the wrath of God. But God is in mercy allowing more people to repent. Amen. I'm so grateful. So grateful. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. He doesn't say so that you'll get your way in everything. He says so that God will cause you to be successful in doing God's will. All those things that he prompts you to do, that he would grant you success and fulfill those desires. If you abide in him, you will bring forth fruit. You mean I'm going to be a famous evangelist? No, not necessarily. Okay? Well, one of you might. It's possible. It's possible. But some people God calls for positions where a lot of people see it and a lot of people are visibly impacted. Most of us quietly work doing what God says, and God brings forth fruit for eternity. One of the great joys of my life is hearing from people that I had no idea I had any impact on. Okay? I didn't know. There was nothing showy. Okay? But I find out after the fact, sometimes years later, when Susan and I were first married, we were visiting my parents in Montreat, and this guy I'd known in high school came by. We were not friends. We were both in chorus when I was in 10th grade. And this guy shows up and said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." He said, I just want to thank you. He said, "When we were in high school, I had no idea what you were talking about when you talked about Jesus." And he said, "But I look back now and see that God used that to prepare my heart so that when I was in college and other people came and were telling me about Jesus, I was ready to receive the gospel." And he said, "My life has been totally changed, but I wanted to come back and thank you for planting seeds." Well, thank God. I don't remember planting seeds in Mickey's life. I remember Mickey, but we weren't buddies. But just living for Jesus made a difference. God simply calls you to do these things that apply to us all. Live in peace with each other. Don't be idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Always try to be kind to each other and everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you live like that, it will make a difference. It will impact other lives. There will be people who see it, even if you don't see that they're seeing it. Even if you don't recognize that God's doing something, that this is a special moment. Obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's all based on grace. We don't earn it, but we do surrender to it. It's not just believing with your mind. It's believing with your whole heart and mind, saying, "Lord, I'm yours. You're the boss. I'm not promising I'm going to do better. I'm asking you to change me. I'm asking you to do in me and through me what only you can do, Lord. Have your way." I pray that if you have not done that, you will. And I pray that if you have done that, you will continue to live that way, daily dying to self, yielding everything to him. He loves you, and his plan for you is not easy, but it's perfect, and you'll be glad in the end.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.